Jan kind of set me up for this because, as she shared in the podcast, we're going to learn more about. You want it up more? You can't hear? Okay. Tell Jerry. Okay. More about the Moabites from Numbers 22 to 24. And this story involves Balak. I went to Google and I put pronunciations in there, so that's what Google says anyway. Balak, who was the king of Moab, Balaam, who was a diviner with an international reputation, and a donkey. And so remember that Ruth, who we're studying now, was a Moabitess. And so to the Israelites, she was a foreigner from a despised people. So kind of to set up the story, Israel is on the plains of Moab in anticipation of taking the promised land. And Balak, the king of Moab, saw all that Israel had done to the Amorites, and Moab was terrified, and they were filled with dread. So he wanted to do something to get a little extra power to be able to defeat the Israelites. So he sends princes to Balaam, the diviner, to hire him to put a curse on the Israelites, okay, in hopes that the Moabites then would be able to fight and drive them away. So they go to Balaam, and he has the princes spend the night. He says, I'm going to confer with God. So God tells him not to go with them. You must not put a curse on those people because they are blessed. I thought, this is my little side note, I thought it was interesting he said those people, and he does not refer to them as my people. And so we weren't sure if Balaam was truly a spokesman for the Yahweh God, because he was a spokesman for a lot of different gods at this point. So Balaam goes back to the princes and tells them, go back to your own country, for the Lord has refused to let me go with you. So they return to the king and tell him, well, he's not settling for that. So he sends back more princes with a higher number of them, with what are more distinguished ones. And they tell Balaam that the king will reward him and do whatever he says if he will put a curse on the Israelites. So once again, he says, I could not do anything great or small to go beyond the command of the Lord my God. So he tells them to stay, and he's going to confer with God again. So God tells him this time, since these men have come to summon you, go with them, but do only what I tell you. So there's a bit of a contradiction in what God has told him to do, and then we see God's anger is what's coming up next when he does actually go. But possibly God knew his heart, his intentions, and so he confronted the pagan prophet. So now we have the donkey enters the picture. So Balaam leaves on this donkey with the princes to go back to the king, and there's an angel of the Lord that's standing in the middle of the road with a sword. Now the donkey sees it, but Balaam does not. And so the donkey turns off the road, and Balaam doesn't know why he's doing it, so he starts beating him. So then the angel appears again in a narrow path between two vineyards with walls on both sides, and the donkey presses close to the wall, which crushes Balaam's foot, and he beats her again. So then the angel moves ahead and stands in a narrow place where they can't turn right or left. And so the donkey lays down under Balaam, who gets angry and starts beating. And then the Lord opens the mouth of the donkey. Can you imagine? Your donkey starts talking to you. And the donkey says, what have I done to make you beat me three times? And he says, you have made a fool of me. If I had a sword in my hand, I would kill you right now. And the donkey responds, am I not your own donkey, which you have always ridden to this day? Have I been in the habit of doing this to you? And Balaam says, no. And then it's like his eyes are opened up, and he sees that this angel is the Lord. And so he bowed low and fell face down. So then the angel begins to talk to him and says, why have you beaten your donkey three times? I have come here to oppose you because your path is a reckless one before me. And the donkey saw me and turned away. If she had not turned away, I would certainly have killed you by now, but I would have spared her. And he realizes, he goes, I have sinned. I did not realize you were standing in their road to oppose me. Now, if you are displeased, I will go back. But the angel says, go ahead, go with the men, but again, speak only what I tell you. So he goes with the princes back to the king. And then the king is kind of irate. Didn't I summon you to come like right now? Why didn't you come to me? Am I really not able to reward you? And Balaam says, but I'm here, I've come now. But can I just say anything? I must speak only what God puts in my mouth. So he is consistent with saying that. So they go and they sacrifice cattle and sheep, and the king does, and he gives some to Balaam and some to the princes. And the next morning they go to a spot where they can look out over where the Israelite people are. So Balaam tells Balak to build 7 altars and prepare 7 bulls and 7 rams, and they each offer a bull and ram on the altar. So Balaam goes again to meet with God, and the Lord puts a message in his mouth. And he utters an oracle, which is like a poetic prophecy. And he goes to 3 different areas where they're looking out over the Israelites, and he repeats another oracle from the Lord. Then on this last time, Balaam, it's like he saw that it pleased the Lord to bless Israel, and he did not resort to sorcery. So this next oracle, he turns his face to the desert, and when he looks out and sees Israel encamped tribe by tribe, the Spirit of the Lord, the actual Lord, comes upon him and uttered his oracle. And as Balaam starts to describe his experience now through this oracle, he says his experience in the Lord's presence. He describes it as one whose eyes see clearly, who hears the words of God, who sees a vision of the Lord Almighty, who falls prostrate and whose eyes are open. So the king's anger is burned, and he says, leave and go home. The Lord has kept you from being rewarded. And Balaam says, I could not do anything on my own accord, good or bad, to go beyond the command of the Lord, and I must say only what the Lord says. And now he gives the king a warning of what is to come, and he gives 2 more oracles with messianic prophecy and the ultimate victories of Israel. And ironically, Moab, not Israel, becomes the one cursed. And so then Balaam returns home, and Balak went his own way. And I wonder, it doesn't say anything more at that point, I wonder what difference this encounter made in each of their lives. And as we continue to read Ruth's story over the next few weeks, remember where she came from as a Moabite and where God led her as she chose a new path to follow him. Also consider how God can work to open our eyes and ears to see and hear what he has planned for each of us. If he can use a donkey, he can use anything in our ordinary lives. So would you pray with me? Gracious Father, we thank you for your word and just the diversity of it in these stories and how you do work in our ordinary lives. So help us to see you at work as we come together in our small groups and share. Lord, just teach us from the power of your Spirit. In Jesus' name.